Blog Talk Radio.
Of my soul. That is the beautiful Spirit of God walking and having his way inside of each and every believer's heart. He ignites a fire that burns bright so much that people will know that we have been with God. Amen. Goes right there. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated indeed to honoring this truth and only living creator God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father. There are not enough words in the human language that can express the gratitude and appreciation that we have for his precious and beautiful Son, who is our Prince of Peace. He is our wonderful Messiah and Savior, none other than Jesus the Christ. Right here on this fire gospel experience, Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unequivocally, as well as unapologetically declared to be the only Redeemer, y'all. He's the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and our beautiful eternal life. He's our only hope for this dark and dying world that we're living in. He is our only light. Blessings again to each and every one of you beautiful souls. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus Christ. Because God Almighty is not a respecter of persons, y'all. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be considering for your spiritual uplift as well as your sanctified nutrition from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, as well as verse 27, where we read, God Almighty himself has declared that as a result of Pharaoh's hard heart, that God himself will solidify this hard-hearted condition of Pharaoh. Now, God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows who will repent and who will be converted. There is, however, a line that you can cross and be at the point of no return. We all should be living in a humble gratitude for knowing that Almighty God has not ever forsaken any of us, but he will pass judgment on those with a hardened heart that refuses to accept his kind, gracious, everlasting invitation to fellowship with him. So we will be discussing hardened hearts, because we're living in times right now where I honestly believe that many people have been bewitched with the idolatry of self-centeredness. And it has hardened so many hearts that even in spite of miracles, in spite of words that come directly from heaven that we've never heard before that stirs our heart, that some hearts simply refuse to receive our God. So we're going to talk about hard hearts later on in the broadcast. But my special guest is here, and we're going to open up the door so that the millennials that's out there on the streets doing their thing in a very unique urban gospel way, we're going to let them kick the doors down, and we're going to celebrate with man of God. He is disciple ambassador for Christ at Hope for the Hood Incorporated, as well as an urban gospel artist producer himself. Talk about man of God, Benny Santibanez is here, and we're going to talk about the hood. We're going to talk about the streets, because all of those things have been transformed by the beautiful presence of our God through our Lord Jesus the Christ. It's up to each individual believer to make that choice and make that decision for themselves. So we're going to talk about that. And then later on in the broadcast, I'm going to shine my artist spotlight on gospel artist, woman of God, Jamaica. Y'all going to love her. Y'all have heard her music already on this Fire Gospel Experience. She's going to talk about whatever Holy Spirit God gives her to talk about too. We're going to play her music, and we're going to have some straight up church here. So why don't y'all go ahead and call a family member, a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor, somebody that may have even tested your faith. If you can get in touch with them, say, hey, Brother Ron E. Jefferson is back on the internet radio, giving God his praise, sharing some sanctified biblical truth, and anointed artists are here to testify for themselves. And we all going to say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, God, we thank you for overseeing our lives, leading and guiding us, taking us in the direction that we should go, and empowering us to do things that we could never do on our own. We thank you for lighting the fuse right now that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire.
out there mobbing on the block. Everybody that's going through a hard time, and you feel like life put you where you're at, you didn't have a choice.
I grew up staying in a pain-filled living room. Pray to God, won't you take me out this living tomb? Child abuse, nothing new about it. Gave up hope, guess there's nothing you could do about it. You could say I doubted, and I turned away. Blue skies overshadowed by the black and gray. So the rainy days led me straight to violence. Kicked out of class, asked why your boy defiant. We smoke broke bottles filled with cigarettes. Drug deals, blood spills in the silhouette. Mama cried, step daddy squeezing on her neck. Heart froze, hate rose from the emptiness. You see the hate? A lot of you are quick to judge, but that's expected when they never show you love. You see the hate? A lot of you are quick to judge, but that's expected when they never show you love. On the streets, bumped heads with my fam, so I had to leave. Bag of clothes in my hand, they ain't breaking me. I ain't going back, hate starts erasing me. Seen G's on the block, I wanna be like them. No home for this kid, I guess I roll with them. Eyes closed to the truth, so I'm down to win. Broke men taught this kid how to father sin. So far from the marker, lest the trigger squeeze. Lifetime down the ride for this cold disease. So cold, I don't let nobody close to me. Long road, I was told it was supposed to be. Tangled up, didn't think I'd ever make it out. Heard the gospel, Jesus came and pulled me out. Tangled up, I never thought I'd make it out. Heard the gospel, Jesus came and pulled me out. Change, man, it wasn't me. I was chained to that life, now I'm living free. All it took was some faith, not a bunch of works. Since I came to the truth, I do a lot of work. There's a peace inside my heart that doesn't go away. I give praise cause I get to see another day. Another way of life on a narrow road. Guidance for your soul, telling you which way to go.
Now you see the whole purpose of this song is to tell you that this is where I came from. It's not to bring glory to that lifestyle. It's not to make that lifestyle look glorified and shiny in any way. See, that lifestyle, the truth of the matter is, brings a lot of hurt and pain and destruction. I know about that lifestyle, and I talk about the freedom that I have from it.
Amen, amen. It goes right there. I've heard somebody recently say that if all of your work that you're doing in for the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ is at church, you not even engaged in the kingdom building process just yet. The work that we do goes beyond the church walls. When we come to church, it's for fellowship, for empowerment, for knowledge, for restoration. It's for encouragement. But the work is boots on the ground, dealing with people that we probably sometimes look over and don't give adequate time to reflect that it could have been me. Amen. Google's right there. My special guest, man of God, Benny Santa Benitez, is letting us know that streets is all he knows. But thank God that he knows more about our Lord Jesus right now. As a disciple, ambassador for Christ at Hope for the Hood Incorporated, music producer, gospel artist, coming to us straight out of Wichita, Kansas. Man of God, my special guest is here. Benny Santa Benitez is here to bless us as he sees fit, being led by God. Come on in the room. Come on in the room.
Amen.
Man of God, man of God, bless you, sir. Welcome to Fire the Gospel Experience. How you doing, soldier?
Man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be here, man. I'm thankful, man. I thank Jesus for just for another day, for his grace, and just for the wonderful things that he allows us to be a part of.
Come on. Come on. Talk about that, because that's real talk right there. There are so many things that we can look over our lives that if we're not careful, we're subject to overlook them because we get so accustomed to be well taken care of, protected, leading, guiding, having all of our needs met. It's not until sometime maybe we lose electricity or, God forbid, that we have to deal with the transition of a loved one, heartbreak, legal action, before we have to sometimes go back in our mind and reflect back that, my God, up until this season of trial, trouble, and testing came, I was living real good and blessed by God. So it's always good, man of God, that we need to be mindful and stay in a space of recognition and praise to our God. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Why don't you tell us, what was your life like, man of God, Benny Santibanez, when you made the decision in your life to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Tell us about that story.
So, I mean, I gave up on the whole idea and concept of God when I was probably like 7 or 8. You know, I grew up in a Catholic family. I found my sister's little prayer book. I was trying to pray because my mom was married to a guy from the cartel. We were seriously, severely abused. And I was praying to God that it would stop. And when it didn't stop, I just came to the conclusion that he wasn't real, and if he was real, he didn't care about me. So I became a very bitter, hard-hearted young man. I started getting in trouble. By the age of 10, I was already breaking into people's houses. By the time 11, 12, I was already gang-affiliated. And by the age of 15, my family just couldn't deal with me no more, so they kicked me out on the streets, and the gang took me in.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I lived a lifestyle all in. I mean, I pretty much took the Ten Commandments like a checklist. Anything that had to do with God, I was in opposition. I even taught my homies how to draw upside-down crosses for the T's. I was a hater of God. And you know, this is a testament to the church, because we think that it doesn't mean anything when we don't walk true to our convictions. I was 100% convinced that your God wasn't real, and you weren't either. And so I would get Christians to go get drunk. I would get them to go, you know, be promiscuous. I would get them to do everything against their convictions to prove to myself that God wasn't real, and neither was their faith. And so fast forward to 97, a friend of mine took me to church, and like the first 4 or 5 times he took me, I was drunk. You know, I was like, man, I don't want to go to church. You know, I'm drunk. I don't want to disrespect your church or anything. He was like, it's cool. We'll take you. And so this brother went all the way across town into the hood, picked me up, and would take me to church. Finally, the last time that he took me to church, I was like, okay, I'm going to get sober, and I'm going to go sober because I don't want this dude to think I'm full of it, you know? And so I show up over there. First time I come, and the word hit me so hard. The spirit hit me so hard. I got up and ran out of the church because I didn't want nobody to see me crying, because I felt like crying. The way I was raised, men don't cry. And so I was there for a series. He was like, just stay for the series. And then I was like, well, can I come next week on the new series? And he was like, yeah. So I came in my own car. A friend of mine who was an OG veteran gangster, you know, they did an altar call. He said, come on, man, we all giving our life to Jesus. I went up to the altar call out of obedience to him. You know, I was already used to the M.O. I'm going to pray so you'll leave me alone type thing. They led me through the salvation prayer. And then the guy was like, hey, man, you're going to heaven. And I was like, are you sure? He goes, yeah, bro, you said the prayer, you're going to heaven. I was like, I'm pretty sure there's more to it. Nope, you're going to heaven based on the grace of God and whatever. So I was like, man, I thought I found a way to con God. And so I was like, bet. So I went to the bar that night, started celebrating. Hey, man, all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, man, you'll be saved. And they were like, you tripping. I was like, drinks are on me, man. You gonna participate or not, man? I'm celebrating. In my head, I thought I found a loophole. And so then fast forward
come on
to a couple months, God took me up on that prayer, and he, through my ignorance, still took me. And we were driving down the street, and we saw a guy from another gang that, you know, this guy shot at us plenty of times. We shot at him plenty of times, and we planned on killing him at the stoplight. And the first time in my whole life, I had never felt conviction before, and I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I heard a voice tell me, man, don't do it. Take the gun away from your
friend.
Don't kill him. And so I took the gun. My friend that gave me the gun, we used to fight over who got to shoot the gun, but that day he was willing to hand it over, and then I took the clip out, and I was like, take me home. So I go home, and I'm like, man, what's going on, man? Like, I'm going soft. Like, what's going on with me? I didn't know God was starting a work in my heart, and I'm sitting there in the parking lot like, man, I could get killed from the guys from my gang for doing this. And so I'm standing over there in the parking lot, and that's when God started talking to me. And he said, what would you do if they killed your friend? I was like, if they killed my friend, they'd all have to die. And he said, well, what would you do if somebody was taking your friend to get killed? And I was like, yeah, what? And I knew about it. I was like, shoot, I'd stop them. He said, well, then stop, because you're the one taking them. Because I was a leader in the gang.
Jesus.
I was a shot caller in the gang. And he showed me like little, like, you know how they got on Facebook? They got those little Facebook reels now. He showed me clip after clip of all the times that people followed me into the gang life, people following me into violent instruction, you know, and so I loved my homeboys. I really had a true love for them. So I quit hanging around them in the hopes that I wouldn't be the one that was the cause of their death. But I didn't turn to God in that moment. Like, he told me at that moment in 97, he's like, I want you to go back to the hood, and I want you to tell them about me. I want you to go reach out to the ones that are the most lost and tell them about Jesus. And, I did what everybody else did. I mean, you know what? Man, they some killers. If I go over there, they're going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, you know what? You know, on second thought, you know, like, I'm really not that bad of a person. You know, I came up with every excuse. Church is for old people, and I still ain't lived my life yet. And, you know, I came up with every excuse, and I ran. I did the Jonah 2000 on them, you know, smashed out. And then,
come on.
Fast forward to, like, about 2001, I got involved in this sales thing, and I was thinking, man, that church that I went to was the big church. I bet I could sell to a bunch of those people. Envisioned myself up there rubbing elbows with the pastor on the stage, big, you know, and just selling insurance to everybody. But I'll tell you what ended up happening is I didn't sell one insurance policy, but I sat in the very front row and got rocked by the gospel every single weekend. And a lot of people go to church and they get rocked by the gospel every weekend, but they remain unchanged just like I was. My ex compared it to
this. Right.
She said, you're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You go to church, you get rocked, you're crying, you lift up your hands, but when you leave, you go right back to being the devil. And you know, she's like, wow. You know, the faith that you profess, you don't live. And I was just like, man,
yes,
what?
Sir.
And I had a misunderstanding of the Bible. Now, I'm looking at all the scriptures on how my wife is supposed to be. And so instead of working how I was supposed to be, I was like, this is how you're supposed to be treating me. So I came with like a sense of entitlement. She ended up leaving me for another guy. You know, the blindness, the error of my ways. She left me for another guy, and I completely blamed God for it. I went right back to the streets, bang banging again. I went back, man, it was literally seven times worse than I was. I broke my hand 3 years in a row, knocking people out. And, man, I hit a point where I was just so far gone. I mean, I started doing gangster rap, and we blew up, and we started tapping into the mainstream. And then a friend of mine that I had taken to church back in 2001 came back around for me and was like, hey, man, we're having this revival, man. You should come, and this guy can heal, and God uses him. And I was like, man, I don't believe in that. You know, and next thing you know, you know, I'm watching. She goes, go look it on YouTube, and I'm like, that stage, that's fake. That stage, that can't be right. And so I call my father-in-law, and I'm like, planning on this church. Like, man, they're talking about this Duke, and he's like, I need healing. And so they, long story short, they got me to the church. They got me to. It was an outside event. I was really mad. I didn't want to be there. it was in the middle of the summer. They took me there 2 hours early so I wouldn't escape from them. And so I'm mad, and I walked to the end of the parking lot, and I just looked up to the sky, and I said, if you're so real, then why does my life suck? I was like, I tried the Jesus thing. It don't work.
I know that feeling.
And he just one-lined me so hard. He said, when did you put me first in your life? And the answer was never. You know? And
that's
I said,
right.
But you know what, God? I tried to stop drinking. I can't. I try to stop fighting. I can't. And I'm not going to tell you that I won't be in the bar 2 weeks from now. And I'm not going to tell you that if a girl gives me to play, that I'm not going to go with her. I was like, I'm just one of them ones you're going to have to throw in the trash because there ain't nothing good about me. And I had just come to the conclusion that this is who I am and there's no freedom for me. And he told me, he said, humble yourself. Humble yourself and ask me to do it in you. Ask me to change you and you and you what you can't change. And I was like, man, I didn't think that was a thing. I thought you had to get yourself together. So I humbled myself, and I remember humbling myself. I remember feeling that peace of God as I'm asking. And then I remember asking him, like, man, for real, God, if you're real, please change me. Like, I got a messed up head. I got all this anger. I got this pain inside of me. Like, I need you to change me, because if you're not real and you can't change me, then I know that I'm stuck here. And so I prayed that prayer, and then right when the event started, I mean, I had planned to heckle this guy from the crowd. And this guy just called me out. He said, hey, brother, are you saved? And I was like, what, me? He goes, yeah, brother, I'm asking, are you saved? And I was like, well, yeah. He said, man, you took a long time to answer, man. And I was like, well, I've actually, you know, I fell away from God. And then he's like, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yeah. So I'm thinking this dude finna put me on blast in front of the whole hood. Because they're all the people that were there. And so I get over there. And, you know, this guy prayed for me. I had back problems. And he prayed for me. And, I watched all the videos of people with their arms stretched, whatever. And I was so skeptical. And I was so non-believing that I didn't listen to what the guy was saying. And he said, God is going to do a work in this man's back. And I didn't listen. So he's like, put out your arms. And I was like, I am not part of your circus. I got mad. You know, he tried to lay hands on me and pray for me. And I'm like, I'm not falling down on your floor. Like, I lean my head forward. I see my whole family, my sister, my wife, they're all crying. And I'm like, nah, man, they going for this? And so I was going down the stairs. I was going to go get my family, and we were going to leave. And before I do that, this dude jumps off the stage, like in real time, jumps off the stage and goes straight to my family and starts praying over my whole family. And my mother-in-law was hard of hearing, and God did some work in her so she could hear. And then he asked my father-in-law, was like, have we ever met? I was like, no. He goes, all right, this is for y'all to understand that God can defy even science. He prayed over him, and he said his first name, and he said his last name. And I'm sitting there like, how'd he do that? How's he doing that? There's no way he knows. I mean, neither one of us, we was both ready to leave. How's he doing this? You know, and I'm just tripping. And then it hit me. It's like, oh, man, God is real. And I've been true, and I've been living like he ain't. I've been living like he ain't. Even when God wanted to do a work in me and this dude wanted to pray for me, even then I wasn't willing to accept it. And so I remember being in the very back, and I remember praying like, God, man, oh, man, please forgive me. I do have back problems.
Yes,
man. I do need help. Man, please, God, please, please forgive me. And, you know, the guy was like, well, this is for anybody who's never accepted Jesus. I want to do an altar call, because a lot of times the enemy tries to take those seeds before the sermon's over. He goes, I want to come right now and ask people to accept Jesus. And I remember, like, sneaking in there and just acting like I was praying for the other people, but I was really praying for myself, you know, because I knew I had already prayed that prayer. And you know, I was like, man, I could have got healed, but I didn't believe. And I was like,
wow.
I just remember I was just so crushed by it. And as I got in my car, I had to get in my car a certain way because my back hurt. I noticed that I didn't have to get in that way, and my back was healed. And so I was just like, what?
Wow.
You know, I was like, what, man?
I
went over there. I mean, I got on my – this is in the MySpace days. You know what I'm saying? That's how long ago it was.
Yeah,
I'm in the MySpace, and I changed my profile from my name to Living a Changed Life. I got out and started telling everybody about this, about Jesus. I went across the street. My neighbor, who's seen nothing but kept her like last 10 to 12 years. And you know, she's like, in the last days, something, 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 and closes the door on my face. She couldn't believe that I was My neighbor on the side, you know, he came over after about a month and a half, and he said, man, there ain't been no fights. There ain't been no beer bottles. There ain't been no craziness, and ain't nobody been disrespecting my house. He said, are you in trouble with the police? I was like, no, I'm not in trouble with the police. I gave my life to Jesus. He about fell off the porch laughing because he couldn't believe it until a year later when I was blessed with the opportunity to lead his son to Jesus. And when he saw the transformation in his son, he begged me to keep talking to him. And so that was June 5th, 2009, when I surrendered my life to Jesus. I was baptized July 13th of 2009. I submitted myself to the church to be raised up because I knew I was going to go against the devil. I knew that it was at that time in the parking lot that God was talking to me. And he said, do you remember that in 97, what I told you to do? He said, I want you to do that. Mm. And I was like, man, like, you'd be better off getting one of these dudes that was raised in the church. Because, like, man, I wasn't raised in the church. I got a bad temper.
Right,
like,
right.
In case you ain't noticed, I done knocked half these people out. You know, and I don't think that nobody's going to listen to me. I wouldn't listen to me. And he said, I want you to go. I was like, man, I was like, I'm going to lose my hood cred, and I'm going to lose all my fans. I said, and ain't nobody going to come to Jesus because nobody listens to Christian music. And that was just me speaking from my heart about my perspective and where I was at. I thought nobody listened to Christian music because I didn't listen to Christian music. I thought nobody went to church because I didn't go to church. And so he said, I want you to go. And so the first year we saw 250 people give their life to Jesus. We seen hope.
Hallelujah.
We seen dope dealers turn into hope dealers. We see people get off crack.
Amen.
Meth, coke, all types of addictions. We've seen strippers get off the pole. We've seen prostitutes be delivered. We've seen whole lives transformed. The first person that I baptized was a rival gang member. You know what I'm saying? And God revealed that to me years later. The first, you know, and I discipled, like, my worst rivals. I discipled a guy that I had a hit on. You know? And so God used that to transform my heart concerning the gangs and showing me that you know, these guys are just as messed up as me, and the only thing that divided us was the color and the way we twisted our fingers. And so he started putting it on my heart to go out there, and I'll tell you what's crazy. Mm-hmm. Those same guys that he told me to go to in the 90s that I was like, nah, they'll kill me. I went back, and he said, you remember that guy? Yep, go talk to him. Mm-hmm. And this brother had like 8 bodies on him. You know what I'm saying? And I went, and God snatched that brother up. I'm talking about this brother was so paranoid, he carried 2 guns. He was being tormented by demons every single night. They would come to torment him.
Yeah, yeah.
And this brother went from that to being fully delivered, to having peace, to no longer carrying the guns. You know what I'm saying? And there's stories and stories. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of stories of guys that we've talked to who've been in and out of prison their whole life and who've been addicted and on these streets their whole life. And now these brothers they're sober. And now these brothers are beacons of hope. And now these brothers are reaching out back into the community. One of my good friends, man, he's got 2.5 years sober. He's running the Sober Living House. Mm. He's praying with those guys.
Wonderful.
He's bringing them to Bible study. There's guys that we have who come from the street who this is their very first experience. We launched our church in March, of last year. And so we're coming up on a year, but we got people who've never served before serving a part of what God is doing, excited, on fire, bringing more people. And so we're just seeing
him
do some amazing things, man. He allowed us to partner with the work release program. We've seen guys come and give their life to Jesus every single week since like 2019. It's just amazing, amazing things that he's allowing us to be a part of. We had our first baptism service.
Amen.
9 people get baptized. We've done men's retreats and other events and seen several people baptized as well. And so to me it's amazing because like I remember when it wasn't a thing for the people from my neighborhood to go to church, and now you know you could talk to the younger generation and they're like, oh yeah, I go to this church or I go to that church. Hey, amen, brother. And
that's what's
up. And seeing God pull them out. Seeing that God pull them out, like we've done events, we brought Brother Brian Trejo over, and we set things up strategically so people could hear the gospel, and they heard the gospel, and I'm talking about secular rappers who were vicious, now are rappers who have a heart for God and nothing but God. They don't want nothing of the world, you know, and so
amen.
Man, it's just I feel honored. I feel privileged to be a part of what God is doing. I don't consider myself the move.
Yes,
I'm following his move. And I'm seeing him do what he's doing, and he's leading us in this movement. And so, you know, he just keeps opening the doors. He's done exceedingly and abundantly greater than anything that I could ever imagine with the music.
All that we have,
I mean, I signed a record deal with the Urban Ministry Institute, and so my music is going into the prisons. It's going into the inner city, the urban parts of the city, all over the world, so that people can hear the gospel. And so I don't take that lightly, man. They flew me to California, and I got to minister and do music in front of church planners from all over the world. Like it's just crazy to me. That's
amazing right there, man of God. And you have shared so much. I wanted to jump in every now and then, but I'm just thinking about when you said many, many times, and I'm sure all of my listeners can relate to this, about that feeling of unworthiness, that feeling like, okay, they tell me that you are the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise God, but when you pick me, it just seems like that doesn't equal out, that doesn't measure to what it seemed like you would be looking for. But doesn't the Bible tell us that he takes the weak things of the world to confound the strong? Doesn't the Bible just tell us that he takes the foolish things of the world to confuse those that perceive themselves to be so wise? And here's the thing that I'm getting from Holy Spirit God, man of God, Benny, is that those of us that have been so frustrated with life, so angry about how our lives had become what it was, how we sat alone in rooms and hated our lives so much and what was happening to us and felt so helpless about it, that we had started slowly to hate who we were. And this is the level of understanding, Brother Benny, that most people don't understand, that when you get to a point where there's nothing left, that's when God reaches out the most. Because, see, now we don't have nothing to fall back on. Now we feel like we're just worthless to the world. We become bitter. We become angry. We become hostile, like you said. We become violent. And then sometimes, yes, we do become criminal because we are so hostile against how we've been treated. We don't think there's nothing else coming to us, good brother. And you are so right. And your testimony is so transparent and so powerful because it is true. And that's why we who have been transformed have to step beyond the church protocol and step beyond the church language and meet people where they are. The Bible tells us Paul spoke in a language. He said, to those of the Jewish nation, I'm a Jew. To those that are Roman citizenship, I'm a Roman. He said, I will become like whatever I need to be to all men for Christ's sake. And that's a wonderful testimony that you have, good brother. And I am so appreciative for your willingness to speak so boldly for Christ. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience with my special guest, man of God, Benny Santibanez, talking about how God has saved him, talking about how God has delivered him, talking about how God has rescued him and made his life so brand new. Y'all just heard the man of God tell it like it is right there in his own way, that he is so proud to be in the movement of God. And we are excited and proud to have you here with us. We have no music, brother, that we're going to bless the people of God with. You sent me new music and your ministry, Hope for the Hood. I believe, good brother, there is hope for the hood because there are good brothers like yourself that are telling people about how God saved you.
And in the shame, that's why I messaged you, it's heavy on the brain. Not like residue, the guilt and condemnation, back to back, stuck on repeat, screaming you a failure. Man, this wicked world don't need me. Bro, we E.T. from this broken system. Jesus paid the price, listen to his truth and witness. You might think you too far gone, but he always listens. Yeah, he came for the lost who don't
don't got no vision. He said and did it, said forget it, set the captives free. He took our curse and took our place, he hung up on that tree. The dealers and the fiends, jailers, broken families. The gangster racists, those forgotten by society. Give it up, you ain't Atlas, we can't carry boulders. Call on Christ, he can take this world up off your shoulders. Listen, you a soldier, you're his masterpiece. Feel that beat in your heart, come let the master lead. Back and forth, like I can't get it right. It doesn't happen if the Lord isn't in the fight. He gave the body, gave the spirit, gave the sacrifice. He prayed for unity. It's time to let your feelings die. Go back to church, your family waiting on you. They praying for you, man. Correction isn't hating on you. It's shedding light on them chains that won't let you out. It's sharing life, killing lies from the pain and doubt. It's the Father's house, not a social club. When we walk it out, we learn the Father's love. Walk with soldiers, not with critics on the sidelines. The kingdom is about faith, not just talking about the guidelines. Check the timeline, now's the time to fight. Grab your Bible, that's your sword, get your mind right. Brand new eyesight, brand new eyesight. Without it, we can't tell when Satan's hitting from them blind sides. See, I remember what it was like when I was lost. I remember what it was like before I went all in. I remember what it was like before I locked arms with the family and became part of the body of Christ. See, I was uncertain about where I would go, where I would spend eternity if I died. Brothers and sisters, I speak this to you who believe so that you may know you have eternal life. And that life is in Jesus. That life is in the Father.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed, Fire, the Gospel Experience, is your evangelistic outreach ministry right here on this internet broadcast, telling the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are just enjoying transparent testimony from the streets of Man of God, Disciple Ambassador for Christ at Hope for the Hood Incorporated, as well as urban gospel artist, which you just heard, Man of God, talking about Save Me right there on that last cut. And this is what it's really all about, Man of God, Benny. And my question to you, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners would be wondering, that when you approach people on the street, whether they know you from your past life or not, that you see that they are still actively involved in the street life, what would be some of the maybe first things that you say? Because you already know, if you just start dropping scriptures, man, that's going to probably be immediate turn off and rejection and walk away right off the bat. Do you approach them with the futility of living in the street light and all the promises of family and love and taking care of you is not always going to be what it proposed to be? If you find yourself looking at a long prison term, or if you're looking at the love of a deaf one, how do you approach somebody that you know, like you were, is resistant to the call of God?
Well, people don't care how much you know. You can quote scripture and You know, a lot of times people do that. They quote scriptures, they shun, they put down, and what they don't realize is you're talking to the outcast of society. We come from a heart and a mind place that's so hard that your rejection means nothing to us. See, I don't take that approach with people because I know how that feels to be downcast, to be out. And I just try to, just like the Apostle Peter said, to share the hope that I have with gentleness and respect. I mean, it's a different conversation that you have with somebody who doesn't know Jesus versus somebody who's a pastor, leader, or elder, you know? And so, I try to show them the love of Jesus. I try to talk to them about the love of Jesus. And I try to talk to them about the hope and the future that they have. And being the gang self and falling for the lie, like, you know, when you get into it, you know, you're ride or die and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I happen to know that all gangs have creeds and codes that will allow for you to move on in the instance of a faith, if you're putting your trust and faith in Jesus. Now what they do say is, if it's fake, we gonna come after you, you know. We talk about hope because Jesus is the hope for the hood, and most of the people who come from the streets have already just given their lives over to hopelessness, and just like I felt crippled by addiction, just like I felt like there was no hope for me because of the many bad decisions I had become a part of throughout my whole life, I share what the gospel is. It's the good news. He came to set the captives free. You know, I share the sacrifice that Jesus did so that we could be made right. And you know, my friend, you know, he was like, man, I killed 8 people. Like, God, will God forgive that? And so I woke up the next day, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, and he said, tell him the story about Paul. And so I told him how Saul turned to Paul, and how Saul of Tarsus was kicked door killing God's people. And I said, in the streets,
yes, sir.
So we've done a lot of things, but we wasn't kicked door killing God's people. And so if there's hope for him, there's hope for us. And so, really what it comes down to is, you know, we could scripture beat people all day. We could shun them all day. Like, that's just the world's way of trying to change people. I mean, I come from a Hispanic family. If I burnt my hand, they'd be like, okay, go ahead. Go do it again. You know, see if you learn a lesson.
Mm.
So that's not something that's going to bring no change to them. You know, the Bible says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And so,
yes, sir.
Introducing them to who Jesus is. Now, I talk to thugs, criminals every single week. So I do let them know there is one thing. It's one thing when you say, hey, let me speak to Jesus and make him my personal Lord and Savior, which that's cool. But if Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, how will he lead you out if you're not willing to follow him and do what he says? And so I do speak about the lordship of Jesus and about how we need to repent and turn and what repentance looks like. You know, sometimes people think that going to church means, well, now I got to be good. And really what it is the more you hang out with Jesus and the more his word transforms the way you think, the more you're transformed in your outward man and how you appear. And so, you know, some people, they get caught up on the way you look on the outside. And they don't realize that God is doing something new in your heart. And so I look for what God is doing. My ministry professor taught me to always look for what God is doing and ask God how I could partner. So that's my approach. I don't ever go in there with like, man, I got this figured out. You know, I had a guy from Youth for Christ tell me, he's like, how are you leading all these people to Jesus? You have a method? You have a plan? I was like, no. I'm like, Jesus said, don't prepare a speech. Whatever you need to say, I'll give it to you. I said, that's my plan. I wait for him, the Spirit, to speak to me, and I follow the leading of the Spirit, and he does the work. I'm a part of it. I'm a part of it, but I'm an obedient part of it. It's not me doing it. I'm just as in awe and I'm just as in shock when I see them get saved as the rest of the people around. So,
I mean, and listen to this, man of God. Listen to this, man of God. Let me jump in there real quick. What
a lot of people don't understand about being in the streets. Now, I was never gang affiliated or anything like that. I was just like a party guy. I just like to hang out. I just like to, I guess you could say, try to see what's behind door number two, door number three, right? And what I figured out, when you're out in the streets, you have to be have some sort of, whether you know it or not, it is a spiritual discernment. It's not necessarily connected with God at that point, but you have to have a sense of awareness of things around you. You have to be able to hear your conscience warning you and making you aware of your surroundings and people. And when you approach people that are from the street, they can pick up your vibe even before you start speaking. Because once you've been into, let's just say, a certain camp, into a certain culture, it rubs off on you. You walk a certain way, you carry yourself a certain way, and you have a certain vibe that people can pick up. That's how people can say, hey, this guy is working for the police, or this guy's a snitch, or this guy's up to something. And then, good brother, when you start speaking the language, that's why I related to Paul. When he spoke to certain groups of people, whether they were Romans, whether they were Jews, or whether they were Gentiles, he became who they were. He spoke the language that they spoke so that they could have ears to hear. And this is always crucial. Whenever we are approaching somebody, we need to just some kind of way, spiritually, subconsciously, ask ourselves, God, what is the level of my approach with this person right here? And that only takes an instant. And Holy Spirit, God, if it's his will for you to share with that person, he will give you the words to speak at that moment. When the disciples were being hauled before the courts, the word of God tells us, he said, take no forethought of what you'll say, because in that very moment, Holy Spirit, God, will give us the words to say. And I believe that you can testify to that. That's your method. That's my method. I always reflect back on who I was, because I never want to feel like I'm above anybody. If I have found remedy and solutions for a better life, what I want for other people that have not found it, I'm not selfish and want to keep it all to myself, Brother Benny. I want other people to enjoy this freedom and the healthy self-esteem of who I was from all of the pain and hurt and confusion that used to be a part of my life. We don't live that anymore. We found a way out. So when we see somebody else that's stuck and lost, guess what? We want to see them blessed as well. Good brother, let me ask you this before I let you get out of here. In our communities, in our black and brown communities, we have issues with Jesus. Some people want to make Jesus one color. Another group of people want to make Jesus another color. They fail to realize that it's not about what's on the outside of whatever skin color Jesus had. It's the spirit of who Jesus was, because he didn't die for a certain race of people. He came to the Jews first, but the Jews were supposed to be the global ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because they rejected him as the Messiah, they didn't understand that he was the sacrificial lamb. They rejected him for the most part, although there are Jewish people now that are turning their lives over to Christ, as was some then back in the days of Christ himself. But how do our challenges when it comes to sharing the truth of who Jesus was, not just to the gangbangers, not just to the criminals and the thugs, but sometimes the hardest people to reach are sometimes people that are well off and well to do. Successful on the job, got the nice home with the white picket fence, had the family of 2.5 children, right? And they don't see a need for Christ because they look at Christianity as being something for pitiful people, for people that are black sheep in the family, and ex-convicts and ex-drug addicts. Sometimes these are the hardest people to reach too, Brother Benny. Talk about that, the challenge of witnessing to people that think they are already good.
Man, I tell you, the crazy thing about that is I hit that. I was in that phase of my life, you know, had the six room house, the low riders. I had two low riders. I had five cars. I was doing good. I didn't need God. I didn't see a need for God. I was like, man, I'm God, you know. You know, the reality of it is so many people, especially when you're talking about the white Jesus, black Jesus, brown Jesus, purple Jesus, you know, the reality of it is Jesus said, you know, as he told Thomas, he said, you're blessed because you've seen the host. He said, more blessed are those who believe without seeing, you know, and so.
That's right.
You know, Jesus, that's the king's son that they turned into that pig. I'm like, look, man, it doesn't matter. The Bible says he was ugly. You know, the Bible says he was ugly. It doesn't matter what he looked like. Can't none of us go back 2,000 years ago and take a picture with him. You know, what matters is who he is, what he did, and getting to know him instead of getting fixed on an image. You know what I'm saying? Instead of getting fixed on an image of something worldly, to connect with the eternal Father. You know, there's a lot of people, and really what it is, I mean, you know, Jesus was saying this in Revelation. He said, you think you're rich, but you're actually poor. You should come buy from me. And just sharing with those people that we all have a need for Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're well off. It doesn't matter. Like, calamity can strike at any time. You could be
that's right
now,
that's right,
homeless next week. I went from having all those cars in the house to being homeless as a Christian 5 different times for reasons that were out of hands. And I believe that during that time, God taught me some things. God showed me some things.
Mm-hmm.
And God, you know, he showed me through trials and tribulations who he is and how to trust him. And so I've been at the top. I kind of feel like the Apostle Paul. Like, I relate to him. I know how to abase, and I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah,
he found the secret to being content. And that's trusting God no matter what it looked like, no matter what it feels like. And I say this jokingly. I say no matter what it smells like. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't matter what our perception is. The reality is that Jesus will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And if we understand whose we are and we hold on to him as his children, as his ambassadors, if we hold on to him, then we're good. He said, man, if you hold on to my teachings,
that's right,
you're truly my disciples, he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so, man, we're not interested in getting a big following. We're not interested in being worldwide known. What we're interested in is holding on to his truth and walking with some people that want to walk in those truths with us. When that happens, even the religious people get saved. Come on, in the book of Acts, even the religious people get saved. Even the people who don't know Jesus get saved. I've seen people who come from very wealthy, you know, they got money, they're well-to-do. And you know, what's crazy is that the same approach worked in them. People didn't even try to, you know, didn't try to lead up to Jesus, didn't try to, like, just try to see what God is doing, and next thing you know, God got a hold of them. I think that we sometimes think, like, we get intimidated and think that, like, man, I don't know about that person. You know, they're scary. Or I don't know about that person, they're rich. Or I don't know about that person, they're prideful. Or that person's an atheist. I'm like, boy, I got some hope for all of them. Tell them to come here.
Amen.
You know, and,
that's right.
I'll say this before we get off. I got in foster care. And I was blessed to be able to work with kids that were actively gangbanging. And I'm talking about, I worked in a residential facility, and it was at a home. And these kids were like, as soon as the night shift left, they were like, hey, you know what? We don't believe in Jesus. Don't tell us to go to church.
Mm.
We done heard it all, and we don't know if we like you. And I don't know about you, but that made me excited. I was like, what? I got a buffet here. Come on. Man, God, what you gonna do? And I'll tell you what, every last one of them boys was so excited on Saturday, ironing their clothes, ready to go to church. Because hope is Jesus, and when you introduce people to Jesus, see, people get hung up over doctrines. They get hung up over their own understandings and interpretations. Like, man, let's just let, can we get to the place where we let God be God? Can we let him narrate the word? Because
Hallelujah.
When we let him narrate the word, lives get changed. People get set free. You know, captives are freed up, and eyes are open, and the blind are and the lame are healed. But he has to be Lord.
Sir.
He has to be lifted up. And we gotta let our worldviews, our thoughts, our upbringings, our cultures, everything that we have that gets in the way of him, and we gotta let that fade into the back. We gotta become less and let him become more. And I truly believe that when we do that, we get to be a part of the most amazing thing And that's seeing his kingdom be expanded and seeing his hope touch our lives as well as the people that are walking with us.
Amen. You're so right. Man of God, how can my listeners get in touch with you for mentorship? They may want to invite you to come and speak at their revival or whatever church service they may have going on. They want you to be a part of it because they're going to hear this broadcast. They're going to hear your passion for Christ. They're going to hear your biblical knowledge. And they're going to say, listen, these are the people that are most effective, people that have been through certain phases and seasons in life that was dark, that many people didn't make it. There's a song that the Winans sang. That's one of my all-time classic where it talks about millions. Millions didn't make it. But we are one of the ones who did, good brother Benny Santibianez. And I want to know, how can my listeners get in touch with you? Telephone number, social media, whatever you got going on, website, as well as how they can support the ministry that you have, Hope for the Hood. And then, where can your music be downloaded? Because you sent me a whole album worth of music dating back several years that still is rocking with some good gospel groove, and I will be playing it. Give us your information, how you can be reached and where your music can be downloaded so that my listeners can support you.
Amen. So we have a website, www.hope4dahood.com. So that's hope4dahood.com. We also have a YouTube channel. The most recent albums, we've released them on all digital platforms. So you can go to Spotify, you can go to Pandora, you can go to Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer, Audio Mac. I mean, we were blessed with the opportunity to get a distribution in about 650 stores all over the Amazon. You can go all over the place and find it. The best way for us to get a hold of us is on our website, actually, because there's links to the music there. There's links to the merch there. There's links to the church there. There's, if somebody would like for us to come out and minister, there's a link in there. So really the website would be the best. It gives all ways to communicate, all ways to support. Anybody would like to sow into what God's doing at Hope for the Hood. We have it available online, and the links and everything are there. We would also ask, just me as a pastor, that as you feel led to pray and cover us in prayer as we continue to go out into the hood and as we continue to be faithful to the call that God has given us to reach those who are far. Because there's a lot of people that go to, there's a lot of people in the church and pastors and movements, and I'm not dogging them because everybody needs Jesus. But then not everybody got a heart to reach the addict. Not everybody has the heart to reach the broken family. Nobody wants to reach the kid who's ADHD and can't sit still in class. Yeah. You know, they don't have a heart for the lost. And I just believe that the ministry that God calls us to truly reflects the heart of the Father. These are the people he came. He said, I came for the weary, the destitute, the oppressed.
That's right.
And this is the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Where, this is where we reach out. This is where we're called.
Yes, sir.
So we just ask for prayers.
Amen.
Prayers for the Lord's will to be done.
And we certainly will be praying for you, man of God. And the issue is that a lot of people simply don't know how to reach the drug addict, to reach the gangbanger, to reach the prostitute and the angry child. We just don't know how. And the scripture tells us that my people, God's people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because when we disobey, we headed toward destruction. But also, too, when those that we may encounter are not informed by us being knowledgeable people on how to reach them, they're headed for destruction. So knowledge is the key. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So, man of God, we bless you. We praise you. You have an open invitation, man of God, Benny Santibanez, to come back anytime you feel that fire burning and share with us the good things that God is not only doing in your ministry, Hope for the Hood, but when God gives you a sanctified word to share, we want you to come back and share with us. Would you be willing to do that for us, sir?
Absolutely.
Amen. Bless you, man of God. Looking forward to you coming back. Be blessed. May God keep, cover, lead, and guide you into all prosperity to the point where it blows your mind, and you have to go tell somebody about the goodness of our God. Bless you, man of God. He is the disciple ambassador for Christ at Hope for the Hood Incorporated, y'all, as well as Urban Gospel Music, and we have plenty more of his music that we'll be playing today and in the future. Man of God, Bishop, Pastor, Reverend Benny Santibanez is on fire. The gospel is full. Yes. He blessed us. Yes, he did. And he said something that made me pull out something. Y'all know I'm a writer. Y'all know I've written many poetry pieces. Y'all know that I have two books out here. The Man Code, Being a Man of Purpose on Purpose, my second book for the brothers and those that have brothers they love, as well as my first book, Listen to the Man, Think for Yourself, for the sisters that have sisters and that have sisters in their lives that they love. And it talks about millions, because he kept saying and referencing about so many people, about how we have felt unworthy. And he talked about, now that we found God, we're not trying to be famous. We're not trying to be celebrities, spiritually speaking. We're not trying to be above nobody. But this song, when I mentioned the Winans classic Millions, it reflected back on a piece that God gave me entitled Millions. There was a man who God had given wisdom, eloquent speech, and a caring heart. One day God spoke to this man and said, I have a work for you to do. The man answered, yes, Lord God. God said, I want you to carry my message of hope, but this will require much of your time for studying long nights. Are you willing? The man knew that this commitment would give him a deeper understanding, and he replied, yes, Lord, I am willing. God said, you may journey to many places and be away from your loved ones for long periods. Will you go? The man felt privileged to go to far countries as God's ambassador and said, yes, Lord, I will go. God then said, there are many, many weary souls that I will set before you. You will need all your strength. But know that I will be with you at all times. The man thought of the fame and prestige of speaking to great crowds of hundreds, thousands, even millions. With pride in such a unique calling, the man said, yes, I am willing. But God, knowing the man, said, what if I send those millions to you? One, two, or three at a time. Tell me then, would you still be willing? Something that you own right there for your spiritual consideration right here. Talking about millions. Talking about being open to our God. I'm about to pull out my Shine Artist Spotlight for this amazing woman of God, gospel artist, Jamaica. She's here in the weight room, and she's fired up and ready to go. But this man of God, Benny Santibanez, he has blessed us so that we still want to hear from this ministry of Hope for the Hood, because there needs to be hope in every hamlet, village, and state, as quoted by my good brother, Reverend Martin Luther King. We all need a place to have hope. We all sometimes need to understand that what it's really about, we just have to be strong in our faith in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Of his might. Have you been going through it? Have you been feeling down? Discouraged by your efforts, like it ain't working out. Voices in your head that condemn, put you down. Use a target they keep hitting where it hurts, round for round. And it sounds like the same old thing, same old song. Stained by mistakes, saying you're so wrong. Walking in and out the cycle, thinking will this ever end? Giving in to more corruption. Emptiness within. Those in Christ have a power to be free. Every battle that we enter can be glory for the King. He is Lord over all of the seen and unseen. reject the devil's schemes. Standing firm on the truth in the power of his might. Soaring high on the eagle's wings, guided by his light. As we fight this good fight with his goodness on our mind, there's one thing we must remember, soldier. He's the one that fights. Fight strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Keep that armor on, soldier, as you fight this good fight. We don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. Don't believe the lies. Stand firm, full armor on, our victories in Christ. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Keep that armor on, soldier, as you fight this good fight. We don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. Don't believe the lies. Stand firm, full armor on, our victories in Christ. Kings were created by his will. In this category, like a river overflowing, he could flood us with his love. Every sinner comes to know him through repentance and his son. He's divine. Every branch that's been grafted in this kingdom overcomes through testimonies. Call the rich the non-believers, call the living walk this faith. Yes, we'll go through many trials, but we're never turned away. The Holy Spirit comes to guide us on our journey. He's our teacher, leader, counselor, interceder, our attorney. He is mighty. He of our worship and our praises. Even as we go through trials, he won't leave us or forsake us. Nah, in Christ we're safe, we were purchased and we're covered. All believers can embrace it, be convinced, no need to wonder. They won't beat or take us under, he disarmed the principalities. Our strength is in his might and he don't take those battles casually. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Keep that armor on, soldier, as you fight this good fight. We don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. Don't believe the lies.
Gospel experience where you gifted and talented and anointed people of God will come in with your anointed and sanctified selves and then share your testimony as well as bring some of that anointed music that Holy Spirit God gave you to share with the world to be a witness, because that's when I just in my spirit I'd be on a mad search for y'all just don't know. I'd be at home, I'd be on internet, I'd be on Facebook looking for your anointed people, and then just like I was sharing with man of God Benny Santimenez, that there is a spirit of vibration that I feel, that I'd be like, you know what, ooh, I'm feeling something from that brother, or, oh my God, I'm feeling something from that sister, and it is a good feeling, because that tells me that you have something in you that God has placed in you as a special gift that was meant to be shared with all of us. I'm talking about people that believe in Jesus as well as the people that don't believe in Jesus, because either you're for or against God. What we want to do is those of us that have made a bona fide commitment to live for God, to stand up and be counted. Amen. Goes right there. So here is this amazing woman of God. She's going to let y'all know one thing, and then she's probably going to let y'all know a couple other things, but when she heard the voice of the Lord says, go, guess what she said, y'all? she stood straight up and said, Lord, I'll go.
I'm hurt, I'm tired, but I refuse to turn my back on you, Jesus. Frustrated, worn out, but I can't afford to lose sight of you, Jesus. Too much focus on my life and my current circumstances, and I know that you're the God of second chances. Only you, Lord, can bring me through. Please tell me what you want me to do. Send me out. Is you're the God of second chances. Only you, Lord, can bring me through. Please tell me what you want me to do. Send me a ball.
Hanging off of my shoulders, trying to walk but I can't manage and it's making me slower. Recognize I'm playing games, so I drop the controller. Got a TSA and tell me what I'm not bringing over. Now the steps are aligned, got your plan in my mind. Know my life is closely covered cause your hands over mine. My excuse was I was going with the flow, flow, flow. No excuses, I will follow, I will go, 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 yeah.
Seasons, because I've watched God moving in my life and he strengthened me. He made himself evident in ways where I could clearly see that he is always there for me, and that has made all the difference in my life. That is the sounds of my special guest, y'all. She's here for this beautiful time together on my Shine Artist Spotlight, and I'm just so excited, y'all, to have this singer, songwriter. She brings music that will make you move physically, mentally, as well as spiritually. Coming live to us from Peoria, Illinois, Woman of God, Jamaica is here on this fire gospel experience. Lord Jesus, come on in the room. With your face sanctified, full of Jesus self. How you doing, woman Jamaica? You doing all right?
I am wonderful. Or as my dad would always say, blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored. You better put that highly favored part on there, because some people are blessed, but they might not be highly favored, and they still wondering what's the hold up. But hey, all we could do is tell them be patient, just like we did. God got you coming. He know where you at. Woman of God, listen, why don't you introduce yourself from whatever point in life you want to start? If you want to start when you was a little girl and using a hairbrush as a microphone, or when you just accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that'd be fine with us. Tell us about Lady Jamaica.
Oh, goodness. Like you said, I'm from Peoria, Illinois, and I am a PK, so church has always been a part of my life. Dad became a pastor when I was six, so I've been active in church ever since. I'm a mom and a friend and daughter and sister and worship leader and wearing many hats and just trying to do my best these days. But as far as my musical background, been singing in church since I was six, and went from doing little solos and snippets with the youth choir to being in the choir to directing the choir to being in the worship team, on the worship team, and then now leading the worship team. So I've just been kind of growing in the Lord. It's been a journey, and I'm still excited because he's still more in store.
Amen. Now, here's the thing. For all of you PK kids, we already know y'all went to church. We know y'all went to church 4, 5, sometimes 6 days a week, and sometimes twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
Did you ever reach a point? Did you ever reach a point, woman of God, like so many PKs said, man, I'm churched out. I done been to church enough as a child. It covers me for the rest of my life. I don't need to go back to church no more. Did you ever get frustrated with all that church?
Oh, most definitely. I most definitely had my season of, just kind of like I'm over it. Probably like my late teens, early 20s. I was just like, nope, I'm over it. I can't do this no more. I'm going to do what I want. I'll be here because you need me here. But as far as like having that relationship and really kind of delving in that one-on-one with God, it was most definitely a rebellion season. But it's funny how God will find a way to pull you back.
Amen. The thing that helped me in my evangelistic outreach efforts is to remember those times when I felt like I had enough church. See, what that does is that gives us a sensitivity to when we're engaging someone, try to pick up whatever signals they're giving off and then relate to that. Mm-hmm. And I just tell people, I said, man, I understand what you mean. Maybe not wanting to go to church or whatever, but what we're talking about is relationship with the one who created us. Mm-hmm. So that's way more than just church. Because if there were no churches, God still wants relationship. So woman of God, tell us about times in your life when you as a gospel artist would sometimes have to sing songs to yourself so that your soul can be strengthened. Tell us about those times. Because, see, we see gospel artists when you all are on stage and out front. But very seldom, if we're not in your circle, we don't see how you all overcome tough times. Tell us about the time when you've had to sing your own songs to your own soul.
Oh, man. I would say leading up to the debut album that I had, When Life Hurts, I actually went through this season of just upheaval, and it was a good 10-year-long season. It felt like it was just one thing after another, after another, after another.
Yeah,
you know, some things were self-caused, and then some things were just out of my hands, and it was just like, okay, how much more can I take? And what's funny is the first album, my debut album, is called When Life Hurts because it's a lot of these songs or poems were birthed out of that time. So writing in my journal, you know, how I was feeling and just moments of transparency with the Lord, those are times that I needed to have in order to just, you know, keep pushing. Listening to other gospel music just that helped encourage me throughout that time was most definitely imperative. But I think what really hit the nail on the head is my mom. She was just like, you know, you wrote this album and you really need to go back and listen to the very songs that you wrote.
Come on.
I see that this is a downtime and it's okay to have those moments, but it's not good to stay in them, and you got to find ways to encourage yourself. You've got to find ways to get back to focusing on God and who he is and who he has shown himself to be in your life. But I would most definitely that during that season, and it even, you know, went through the time of COVID, which kind of tacked on to those moments of low, you know, self-esteem, low everything. So I would say really, I don't think the revelation really came, and, you know, really that time of being able to start healing and pushing forward, probably until 2020. Mm. But leading up until 2020, it was most definitely a troubling season.
And I want you to know that that was just given to me at that moment. I had no idea, no intention, no forethought of even asking you that question. So I know when you heard me speaking that, it probably threw you back a little bit. But that's how I've learned to yield to Holy Spirit God in my life. I'll hear him, and I know that I'm just being the vessel, and I'll let him speak through me. I'll let him walk through me, talk through me. And this is the whole point of being a Christian. So tell us why bad things happen to good people, to godly people, because a lot of people think that once you get saved, you're supposed to live a trouble-free life. Talk about that part and help people understand that even though we have a relationship with God, he does allow us to go through our seasons of testing and trials, but there's a point and there's a reason why. Can you help us with that?
Sure. I'm trying to figure out where in the Bible did God say that life was going to be easy once we came and to serve him. I never really liked that statement. You know, I never, you're right, it's not in there. I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, folks will quickly be saved, and that's the first thing they think, like you said, was that life is supposed to be perfect. But Jesus never said it was going to be easy. I mean, if you look at his life wasn't even easy. Mm-hmm. His life was an opportunity for us to see how we are supposed to walk this walk, even when the times are tough, even when the things that we thought were supposed to happen aren't happening. And so I most definitely never liked that statement where bad things happen to good people, because bad things happen to everybody. It's just the joys of being human.
Thank
it's the joys of walking this walk. But what makes it, I think the easy part is that when we become servants of Christ, we have somebody that we can lay these burdens down on. We can cast down all these crowns, and we can cast down our issues. And then we just have to start learning how to not pick them back up.
Amen.
The fact that we can just lay these things on him and lean on him in those times, that's the important part. That's the part we need to stay focused on, because we all going to have real problems. We all need real help. We all need real healing. We all need deliverance. We all need a safe space. And God is it. And so that's the perks of becoming a follower of Christ, is that now you have someone to cast your cares on, and he will take care of us because that's his promise, and nothing in his word will come back to him void.
Amen. I think sometimes statements like that, you know, bad things are not supposed to happen to good people, are just some preconceived notions of people that are coming to spirituality, coming to God, coming to church with agendas, thinking that, you know, hey, maybe I can work this religion. Maybe I can find me some loophole, because basically what they're doing is they're trying to come to God on their terms. So they bring these misconceptions about what it should be if I accept you, you know, just like some people will have a Bible on their dashboard and keep it there. Like it's supposed to be some sort of special ornament of protection. The protection is when you open that bad boy up and get into the words and studying it and let those words sink down in your spirit, because trials, testing, and trouble will come, because we're living in a world that basically opposes God, and then we have an invisible enemy called Satan the devil that has his demoniac forces out to make sure that we don't have an easy go. But I love how your songs of ministry are taking a fortified stand. You talk about I'll go, and then you came right back and let people know, look, get out my way. I got things to do for the Lord. Can you give us some words of encouragement before we let you get out of here and play this amazing hit song? I'm going to call it hit song number one on the charts. Get out of my way. Who you talking to? You talking to the devil or anybody that just happened to try to stand between you and God?
Listen, get out of my way. I'm talking to self. I'm talking to the devil. I'm talking to naysayers and negative people who are trying to derail my focus. I'm talking to everything, because you got negative self-talk, and you mean you got people on the outside trying to do the same thing. So it's just a matter of remembering I'm going to focus on God, and y'all need to get out my way, because I am determined to do what it is that the Lord has for me to do. So I just want to encourage everybody to just press into him more and remember that everything that he's brought you out of, and be grateful and use that thankfulness to fuel your continually worshiping him in spite of whatever it is that you may be going through, and believe he will continue to do it over and over and over again. He is faithful.
Amen. You fixed that thing right there. You made it real plain for everybody. Can't nobody miss that one. Woman of God, how can my listeners support you? If you know, my five kingdom collaborators that syndicate this Fire Gospel Experience is going to be replayed several times in the future, and there are going to be some bishops, some pastors, and church organizers, as well as concert promoters, that are going to hear your testimony and your music. They're going to want you to be a part of whatever it is that they're putting together. How can you be reached for any type of booking engagements? How can your ministry be reserved so that you can be a part of whatever the people of God are doing in different places, as well as your social media contact? We're already Facebook friends, and if you have other social media outlets, as well as where this music can be downloaded. The Bible declares that the laborer is worthy of their hire. I don't know why people want to try to insist that just because we say we're supposed to do everything for free. Come on now.
Most definitely. Well, if you, for booking information, you can always reach out to the label Millennium Sound Records. Their number is 217-330-7549, or you can go to Millennium KEGRP19@yahoo.com in order to send out an email. If you want to reach out to me or follow me, I'm on Twitter at Jamika_Jamika. I'm on Snapchat, just my first name, Jamika, J-A-M-I-K-A. Instagram, just Jamika1. TikTok, just Jamika. Facebook, Jamika, just Jamika. So please reach out. I'm looking. Hey. I'm excited. Share, like, follow, all the above. And as far as the music is concerned, you can go to iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, whatever media outlet you're interested in or is your favorite. I'm there, J-A-M-I-K-A. It's just my first name. Look me up. There's an album out there that's called When Life Hurts. And, of course, the single that we're promoting right now, and I'm so very excited about, Get Out of My Way.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm hoping that you guys enjoy it. So please reach out. And if you want a physical copy, if you feel old school, you can go to my website, www.jamikapurelife.com, and order a physical copy. Or
that's
I'm also
right.
available at CD Baby. And I believe Amazon still has a few physical copies as well. So please reach out. I'm so looking forward to interacting with you all.
I'm old school, woman of God, Jamika. I like my physical copies. I grew up holding on to album covers and reading who's on piano, who's in background, who's on the saxophone, and who's on the drums, and then the whole story of the artist or the group. And then I like my physical Bible. I like the feel of pages when you just thumb through them. I just love it. So, yeah, we still here. Everything ain't went virtual just yet. Woman of God, listen, we appreciate you. Want to also give a shout out to Woman of God, LaFecia Taylor. Thank you so much for sending this anointed Woman of God to the Fire Gospel Experience. Woman of God, LaFecia Taylor, all the hard work
Thank
that you
so
managers and producers and promoters do, people don't recognize y'all, so I have to give y'all a shout out and let y'all know we're praying for y'all too. So Woman of God, listen, we appreciate everything that you're doing for Jesus. Keep letting God use you so that we can be restored and regenerated and filled all over again as we just continue to just celebrate you all in you all's ministry, because you all are doing a unique work. Everybody can't do what you do, woman of God, because, see, when you get up there and minister in song and all of that, we don't take into account the rehearsal, the commitment, the time that you all have to take away from family, having to replace certain members in the group and having to get up and having to go from work to daycare to childcare to school to rehearsal. And so I'm letting the people know that you all deserve applause, and that's why I shine my artist spotlight on you all so that you all can get some recognition so that we can keep praying for y'all. How about that, woman of God?
Yes, thank you.
Is that
so
real
much.
Talk or what?
I'll take all them prayers. Yes, sir.
Amen. Woman of God, listen, you have an open invitation. If you want to come back to the Fire Gospel Experience, you know how to get in touch with me. Just say, Brother Ron, this fire is burning, and I would love to come back and share with your beautiful, saved, blessed listening audience, and we'll be more than happy to have you come back and share with us not only this anointed music, but also your wonderful Bible knowledge and testimony as well. So bless you, woman of God. We look forward to having you come back soon as you'd like. I'll be ready for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you as well.
Amen. Woman of God, Jamaica, y'all. She was right here.
That's the first.
Telling y'all what it's really like going on as we, people of God, live this victorious life in Christ, because it is a victory. And y'all better know that. Don't y'all know that we win, that we will go, and we don't want nobody getting in our way. Y'all heard Woman of God, Jamaica. She said sometimes herself. I like that part because I didn't think about that. Yeah, we got the devil to contend with. Yeah, we have to deal with people that may not see things the way we do. But, yeah, she's so right. We have to also deal with the fact that sometimes we might get in our own way. Here's Woman of God, Jamaica, in my shine out of spotlight, getting every and anything out of the way from us prospering in God. Yes.
Seem to find the key. This sinking, thinking really has a hold of me. No matter what I try, nothing that seems to fit. If I speak this message, is there something they will get? Maybe I should step aside and just let the feeling go. Yeah, I think I better let it go. Yeah, I think I better let it go. Because I'm failing, trying to meet the social norms, raising God with one breath, the next second a compliment. God's word becomes a scapegoat to crush shame and neglect. They say I'm not enough, but God says that I am loved. So I take my strength back and stay fixed on things above. Six and
refuse to let anything stand between me and the purpose that God has for my life. Sounds of Woman of God. Jamaica, get out of my way. Amen. Goes right there. That can be a theme song for all of us saved, sanctified believers. Blood washed, sanctified people of God. We're not going to turn around. We're going to hold our ground. We're going to keep moving forward by the power of God that resides in each one of us, blessed and anointed believers in God. We are presenting for your spiritual consideration as well as your sanctified supplement from the Word of God in Exodus chapter 14, verses 17, 18, and 27, talking about hardened hearts. We're living in times now where I believe that many people have been bewitched with the idolatry of self-centeredness. God gave me that inspirational word, and I shared it on my Facebook page, and now I just am continuing in that same vein, y'all, talking about hardened hearts, because there is so much callousness going on in our world. And we as Christians cannot just stand idly by and let callous, cold-hearted people control us without us presenting the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible declares, it says that we're living in times where people's heart will wax colder and colder, and we are seeing the evidence of that. Amen. The Bible says from the Living Bible Translation, Exodus 14, 17, 18, and 27 says, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will go in after you, and you will see the honor I will get in defeating Pharaoh and all his armies, chariots and horsemen, and all Egypt shall know that I am Jehovah. Moses did, verse 27, and the sea returned to normal beneath the morning light. The Egyptians tried to flee, but the Lord drowned them in the sea. Now, when we think of our heart, we all know that it is that vital organ inside our chest cavities that pumps all the blood throughout the entirety of our whole body. So, too, is our soul's heart. The spirit part of our soul structure, where our spirit emits and receives emotional vibrations. Yes. We all have a soul cry and a soul laughter. Our emotions are not simply limited to our physical makeup. So when the Egyptian Pharaoh decided in his mind to go after God's people, his thought was quickly transported into the deeper recesses of his being. I'm talking about down into his soul, where there took place a spiritual conversation and deliberation within himself, when finally a dire and drastic conclusion to take action. His soul heart had come to a place of determination where he also concluded within himself that there would be no turning back. Now, beloved, this was the point where the Almighty made his holy decision to step in. Verse 17 says, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will go in after you. And you will see the honor I will get in defeating Pharaoh and all his armies, chariots, and horsemen. Now, Holy God knows the heart of the ones he created. Yes, including Pharaoh and all others in high positions like him. This says when he hardened Pharaoh's heart, God did not impose anything upon the Pharaoh that was not already there. But God knows, and God being God, knows the hearts of men. Exodus 7 and 13 says Pharaoh's heart was still hard and stubborn, and he wouldn't listen, just as the Lord had predicted. Now, the consequences of being hard-hearted is that there's no room for renovation or restoration of heart. When the heart is filled with hate, malice, destruction, vice, vengeance, and all other sorts of evils, these malignancies cancel the options for change and have been discarded. Exodus 7 and 14 says the Lord pointed this out to Moses, that Pharaoh's heart had been unmoved and that he would continue, hear me now, to continue to refuse to let the people go. The refusal to change is also potentially contagious to those others around the ones that are affected. The Egyptians themselves, under the Pharaoh, had taken on his spirit. This is more evidence of the spiritual warfare veiled under our physical world. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we're talking about hardened hearts here on this fire gospel experience, because the heart issue is really where we need God's help. Here's man of God, Aloysius Brown. Help us, Lord. Help us with our hearts, Lord.
Yeah. Help us all, Lord.
And all kind of stuff going on in the studio. Sounds of man of God, Aloysius Brown, wanting some help, Lord, because that's what we all need, I promise you, every single day. It's always something going on within us, around us, where we are asking you, Holy God, to be our strength and be our resource, just like you are. Be our source that provides our resources, because you do that so well, as only you can do. We are sharing from the Word of God, from Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 17, 18, and 27. That is correct. Talking about hardened hearts. And we just quoted that it's not just flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And, you know, we tend to only see the people involved and do not see the invisible dark spirits that are driving them, except for those of us who have the spirit of discernment, where we have been given the supernatural vision to see the unseen activities around us. Verse 18 says, "And all Egypt shall know that I am Jehovah."
Needless to say, we serve an almighty and awesome God that determines that all of the glory will be rendered to him. Even those obstinate ones who willingly oppose him, his word, and his people. These words regarding the nation of Egypt still stands recorded today for all other nations of our generation to pay heed and homage to what the Almighty One declares and decrees to be his will. Verse 27 says, finally Moses did, and the sea returned to normal beneath the morning light. The Egyptians tried to flee, but the Lord drowned them in the sea. The Lord did what the Lord told him to do. He said, take your staff and touch again the waters. And they rolled back down upon the Egyptian army and drowned them all, horses included. So unfortunately, for those who choose to disobey the will of God, there will be great perilous and tragic consequences for them. Our world has become incessant with open disdain for God, which lends credit to our Lord Jesus' prophetic words about the events that will indeed signal his time of returning is being nearer than when we first believed. Mark 3, 13 and 7 says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed, frightened, or troubled. These things must take place, but the end is not yet. Mark 13 and 7. And also, how about the words of the Apostle Paul to his protege, Pastor Timothy, 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy. You may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days, it is going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good, as quoted from the man of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Proverbs 4 and 23 says that, listen, we may stay ever mindful of all what lies within our hearts as Christian believers. We must be mindful. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, and out of it are the issues of life. With an objective and healthy self-examination of heart within our own souls, the deepest part of who we are, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Lord Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Yes, indeed. Because God our Father, our Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit God does indeed live inside all of us as believers. And they all rest, rule, and abide on the seats of our hearts. Amen. Goes right there. I want to thank all of you supporters for tuning in and listening, for supporting this Fire Gospel Experience. I want to thank my special guest, man of God, gospel artist, disciple, ambassador for Christ at Hope for the Hood Incorporated, man of God, Benny Santibanez, as well as my special guest for Shine Artist Spotlight, Woman of God Jamaica. I want to leave you with one final word. And that is, please hear me now, this final word. When we continue to ask the right questions is when we will hear Holy Spirit God speak. So keep asking those right questions and keep listening for the sound of our Holy Spirit God to share with us and to bless us. I want to leave you now with this woman of God. She is going to bless your heart and bless your soul. She's going to bless you in and out. And I promise you, I am so blessed to have Miss T, Tiffany Coleman, letting us all know that our God, he's been so, so good. Y'all be blessed in the beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God bless you.
My God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God.
Testify about how you got your blessing.
Me, never ever forsake me. Set me on that path, never held me to my past. Gave whatever I had, promises everlasting. His glory I will bear.
Go on, tell him how you got your blessing.
He pulled me out of the ash till I took off the mask. He's a good step, but you ain't never gotta ask him.
Ever forsake you, set you on that path, did he hold you to your past? Every time that you needed, he gave the things that you asked. Didn't his promise last, and his glory you can bear.
Go on, tell him.
No. Didn't he pull you out the ash? So you can take off the mask.
Go on, tell him.
Yeah, he's still a good shepherd, you ain't never got a question there.
Share the bill of the most. Share the bill of the most.